Lord, I just want to pray, Lord, that as we just open up your word today, Father, that you would teach us. Lord, I pray the prayer that Paul said, Lord, that you would just give us a greater knowledge and an enlightenment about who you are and what we have in you this morning. Lord, I just pray that you take away the distractions, and Father, that you would just work in our hearts, Lord, in a way as only you can. And Lord, we're going to give you the thanks and praise as our lives change. And Lord, as we find greater grace and greater strength and greater power in the challenges of life that we face. And we want to ask those things now in Jesus' name. Amen. So you guys, you can probably tell we're having a little bit of a technology challenge today. You see us running around like, you know, chickens without heads. And that PowerPoint, can you guys see that? Oh, okay. It's a little bit of a challenge. Yeah, me neither. So, yeah, we're having our fun. But God is good. And we're here gathered face-to-face so we can work without that today. That's a helpful tool that we're going to miss, but we're going to work our way through without it. So I want to encourage you in sort of an old-school way. You got a bulletin when you came in, right? Take out that outline. And we're going to just try to put some meat on the bones there that I think are going to help you in the days ahead. If you see me clicking, it's a matter. It's a habit. I can't stop. It may cause me to do that. But we're going to dig right into our passage this morning. And we also can provide you the PowerPoint later on if you would like that. We will also celebrate the Lord's table at the end this morning as well. So let's just dive in this morning. We're going to go to the book of Ephesians chapter 1, as we mentioned. And we've been studying now this series in the book of Ephesians just for a couple of weeks. And it's called The Church, God's Gift of Grace. And the church really is that. We looked at a bunch of things. We talked about wealth management a couple of weeks ago. As the first part of this book just kind of lists out for us our riches that we have in Christ. Last week, we talked about the confidence that we have because God saved us by his grace. Today, what we want to think about is this issue of a powerful and a purposeful prayer life. And I want to ask you guys a question. It's kind of connect in for a minute this morning. Do you feel like your prayer life is effective? Is your prayer life encouraging? You know, and sometimes I think we say at times, maybe not all the time. And what we want to kind of address today is we want to begin to build up our prayer life in a new way. And wow, we're back. Check it out, sort of back. Oh, it's back on the monitor. Okay, we'll work on the projector part. So what we want to think about in our prayer life is how can it be more powerful and how can it be more purposeful? And the challenge isn't just for us to get what we want. And I want to throw out to you, how many folks even this week had a prayer get an answer of no? Got a no answer? Sometimes people call that unanswered prayer. There's no unanswered prayer, but many times God answers no, or God answers wait. Sometimes the answer is yes, and then we feel real good and kind of charged that God's doing exactly what we want him to do. But what we want to focus on this morning is a little bit different way to think. So take your Bible and go with me, if you guys would, to the book of Ephesians chapter 1. I want to begin in verse 15. And as I look at verse 15, look what it says. It says, "Therefore, I also, after I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened." And I want to stop for a second. What's the first word in this text? What does it say? It says, therefore. And therefore is kind of a key word that we want to kind of hinge ourselves off of. I want you, before I even dive into this, I want you to get a grip real quick, though, The eternal truth that I want you guys to think about is this, and it's in your bulletin. The prayer for spiritual understanding is the prayer for power and purpose. In other words, we're not just praying to ask God to give us what we want, but we are asking God to give us spiritual wisdom and discernment about what we pray for, about what we ask for, and about how we live life. And I just want to say for a second, kind of put this in context, when we think about why that's so important, you remember Solomon? God said to Solomon, I'm going to give you anything that you want. And I want you guys to think about that for a second. If God walked up to you and he said, you know what, First Baptist Church congregation, I'm going to give you anything that you want. Let your mind go with that for a second. Anything. Anything that you want. What would that look like to you? And you remember Solomon, he said, give me wisdom. And wisdom is a skill to live life well. And we need that because we don't always have everything that we want. We don't have all the resources that we want. We don't get everything that we want. So how do we live life well with skill? And that's why we need God's wisdom and God's discernment. I want to share, I'm going to move to really this first point in our outline that I want to share with you today. And I called it this, and you see it there. I called it Reviewing Our Riches, God's Grace, Blessings, and Guarantees. So the context of this passage that talks about prayer, the context of this passage is think about all the things that God has given you. And I just want to kind of go through them real quick. Jot them down. They're really fast, really easy. Here's the first one. It said in Ephesians is that I am chosen by God. Out of God's grace, God chose me to be holy and blameless. I am an adopted child of God. So you can just write down, God chose me by his grace. Second thing is, God adopted me as his child by his grace. It was a loving choice. Not because we're so great, but because God wanted me, because he loved me. Here's the third one. I am redeemed. I'm no longer a slave to sin, but I'm a slave to God. And sin's power has been broken. So I am chosen. I am adopted. I am redeemed. I am forgiven. Not only is the power of sin broken, the penalty is paid. The debt is canceled. Sin's penalty is done for me. I'm forgiven. The next thing is, I'm an heir. Remember, Paul said, you're an heir. I have all the privileges of a son or a daughter of God. I don't get the leftovers. I'm not treated like the stepchild. I get it all. And then finally, last week, we learned that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit until God's final day of redemption, when he finally takes us home to heaven. I'm not sealed till I sin. I'm not sealed till I mess up. I'm not sealed till I doubt God. I am sealed to the very end. And that's sort of this context that Paul was talking about. And the therefore is therefore because Paul wants to say, in light of all of those things that I just mentioned, and then he says, and the fact that I've heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for the saints. And I want to say this. Paul is saying this. Here's all these great things we have as believers. And he says, and you know what? I see your faith and I see your love for other believers. And you know what that sounds like? That sounds like growth. Write this down. Faith and love equals growth. The church isn't standing still. The church isn't, you know, stuck in one place. Our faith is growing and our love is growing, but we still need more. And I want you guys to get a handle on that. And that's what Paul writes this part. He says, Paul wants us to, he wants to seek more growth because of his love for the church in Ephesus and ultimately the love for us as believers in Christ. He wants them to get more. And that takes us to these words of Paul's prayer. Notice his prayer. Look what he says. And we're going to kind of wrap our arms around this just for a second. And I'm going to kind of connect it so you understand why. He says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So everybody look up. God wants you to write it down, know. God wants you to know, K-N-O-W. And you might say, well, why is that so important that God wants me to know? What is knowledge? What's that give me? Do you remember this Old Testament passage? It's found in the book of Hosea, chapter 4, verse 6. And it says this. It says, my people perish because of a lack of knowledge. And, you know, as believers in Christ, we're sealed. We're secure. We're going to be okay. But I'll ask this question as a believer. Have you ever felt like you're not going to be okay? You have, right? I mean, let's be real. Let's have honesty day. Have you ever felt like you're not going to be okay? You're anxious, you're sad, you're upset, your world's falling apart. You feel like you're going to fall apart. Anybody there? Right? If we're honest, we've probably all been there, you know, at some point. It may be to one degree or another, maybe not fully 100%. But we struggle with that. Life is tough. It's hard. So Paul says, you know what? I want you to know some things. I want you to have this knowledge that's going to help you. And what Paul wants us to understand as we stop and we think about this is he wants us to give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. And I want to ask this as a question. Where does this wisdom of God come from for us? Where does it come from? It comes from the Holy Spirit. And by the way, as you look through this book or this passage we've gone with so far, we saw that all the members of the Godhead have an active role in our salvation. God chooses, Jesus dies and pays the penalty for our sin, rises again, Holy Spirit seals, Holy Spirit's the one who comes in and saves us, Holy Spirit draws us to God so that we put our faith and trust in him. The whole Godhead is at work. And if we're going to have wisdom, it's going to take two things, the Word of God and the work of the Holy Spirit. And I want to challenge us. It's summertime, right? And summertime, you know, is challenging. It's, in one way, we have more time, it seems like. Some of you guys are laughing. I don't have any more time. I'll throw this out. Summertime for me is less disciplined. Like, I'm a creature of habit. I like that getting up a certain time. Doing this. You know, I like that rut. You know, I need that sometimes. That discipline keeps me where I need to be. But sometimes in the summertime, what happens? You go to bed too late. You get up too late. Life gets kind of out of control. The things you know you need to do, you don't do. You know, and we don't really progress as well in the summer. And I'll throw this out. We're understanding that today. One of the greatest challenges in education is summertime. Because kids go backwards, not forwards. And even after the pandemic, you know, kids are trying to catch up, and more kids, by the way, are in summer school now, but if they don't catch up, they're going to be really stuck when it comes to fall. You know, and it happens to us in our spiritual lives as well. And Paul wants us to take the Word of God in a serious way, seek God's face. We were talking about this week at church, and you know, Sydney and I were talking about staff. You know, there's a word, there's a verse, and it's not our passage today, but it's found in the book of Colossians. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. In other words, the word of Christ is like, it's just in you. It's like you're breathing it. You're thinking it. It's always impacting you. And that and the power of the Holy Spirit is going to bring wisdom into your life and my life. And discernment, as I look at situations, as I pray, and it seems like God doesn't answer or he says no, I need that wisdom and discernment so I can move ahead and really grow. And that's what God wants us to have. And I'll just share the next part. He says this. He says that the eyes of our understanding being enlightened. And here's kind of the key issue here. The eyes, like, I want you to picture this picture. It's kind of like your heart has eyes and can really see what's going on. And I like this picture in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It says this. It says, the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are unseen are eternal. And those things that are unseen may be unseen to the eye, but they can be seen with the eyes of our heart as God works in our heart. that we begin to understand what's really going on, we can then live life wisely. We can have that wisdom to do what we need to do, to live the way God wants us to live, to think the way God wants us to think. And I'll throw this out. If I think the way God wants me to think, it's going to make me feel the way God wants me to feel. And here's our challenge. A lot of us feel pretty beat down. You know, I don't say this stuff, but, you know, a lot of preachers say, can I get an amen? Yeah, I mean, do you feel kind of beat down, kind of like you're worn out? I mean, I'll say I do. You know, you may do. By God's grace, I woke up this morning kind of refreshed on 5.5 hours sleep, but I feel kind of beat down a lot of times. But you know what? I need God's wisdom and God's discernment so that I can live life wisely. And that's what he wants. That's what he wants these believers to have. And I'm going to throw this out. Everybody look up real quick. That's how God wants us to pray for each other. And that's such a key, important thing. And he wants us to have this knowledge. And I want you to look down at this word for a second. When you skip on down in your text, he says, you know, I want you to have this knowledge of your eyes, of your understanding being enlightened. And he says, look with me at verse 19. He says, I want you that you may know. Underline that word know for a second. And here's what God's trying to say about this word know. This know, and again, there's interesting kind of grammatical constructions in the Greek language, a little different than English. And the idea of this is in what's called the Greek perfect tense. In other words, you know it, the fact of you learning it and knowing it is past. The results of you learning it and knowing it keep on going. And he says, I want you to know. You know this. It's in your heart. We want to solidify it each day with the word and the power of the Holy Spirit. But I want the result of you knowing to be lived out each day in your life. I want you to know it that way. And you hear people say this. It's kind of like when you know, you know. You ever hear that phrase? I know, I know. You know, and sometimes it sounds like parents say that. I know, I know. But this is like you really know what you know, and you know it's true, and now that's going to change your perspective. And that's going to give you some security. That's going to give you confidence. That's going to help you to live life well and wisely. And that's why it's Paul's prayer. Now, I want to take a second. We talked about wisdom, and we talked about the Word of God. How many folks picked up your life-changing verses over the last couple of weeks, right? We got to commit them to our minds. We don't always have our Bible. We forget. You know, they say the first time you learn it, you probably should look at it every single day, multiple times. Then after you kind of got it down, you look at it once or twice a week and it kind of sticks. But I encourage you to look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, and Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. There's pretty cards out there, verses on the back. Let's get those into our minds so that we will be more discerning and have more wisdom. And I'm going to quickly move ahead from that. So Paul wants us to understand those things. I want to move to our second point, which is this, resolving to pray spiritually for understanding. Now, this is going to hit you and me right where we are. And I kind of moved to, I called it the A point. The first part of this, resolving to pray spiritually for understanding, is let's evaluate how do we pray now. How do we really pray now most of the time? You know, every once in a while, maybe we're different. But here's what I think about. Here's how I often pray to God and probably how you do too. You can write down these words. There's four of them. Here's the first word. God, heal. I want God to heal. Heal everybody. And by the way, and we all pray, all the people we pray for at prayer time on the prayer list, we would love God to heal them all. Let's be honest, is it going to happen that way? And that humanly is sad, but God has a purpose that's greater, and God has an eternity that's better. And I have to have that in my mind, because when God doesn't heal, it feels like my prayers are unanswered, or God gave me the big fat no. And maybe God said no because God has a better plan. That person can't be healed this side of heaven. That his work truly, or her work on earth, really is done according to God, not according to something that we say. Like a lot of people say, well, I guess his work was done. But no, maybe it really is, and God determined that. So we always pray for God to heal. The other thing we pray for is God fix. Fix everything that's broken. Fix my relationships. Fix the problems I have on the job. Fix these people. And understand again, does God always heal and does God always fix? And the answer is what? No, he doesn't. He doesn't always heal and fix. And then, let me just qualify that. Some of you guys are saying he does. And I'm going to throw this out. You know, death is healing. We don't like to think of it that way. But God does heal and God does fix in his time, in his way that doesn't look like my time or my way. Right? So God just doesn't heal and fix as if he were a genie and we kind of rub the, you know, the bottle just the right way and God did what we wanted. The other thing we pray for to God is this: God heal, God fix, God make me feel good or be comfortable. God, take away all those things that frustrate me. Anybody had any luck with that prayer request? Take away all the things that frustrate me. I don't know about you, but I think God's saying, nope. He's not doing that the way I want. And then the last one is this: God, give me what I want. So we'll get him down real fast. Here's normal prayer. Heal, fix, feel good, give me what I want. That's how we often pray. And I want to write this down on your outline. These prayers are very temporal. In other words, they're very much based in the current, based on what I feel, what I see, and what I understand. They're very physical, and they're very human. And I want to throw this out. Do you think there could be more to this picture? I think there is more. And that's kind of why God, if you look at the apostle prayer, when he prays, he's not always praying, God heal Sally. God heal Jim. He's not doing that all the time. God fix this problem. He doesn't pray that way. He prays in a different way. And that's what we want to kind of glean from this text today as we look at how Paul prays. He's looking for that our eyes of understanding would be enlightened and that God would give us this real spirit of power and wisdom to discern what is going on and how to pray and what to do as a result of it. And that is quite a bit different. You know, and I want to share with you guys just so we're clear. And by the way, Scripture, one passage may teach strongly about one thing. Another passage may teach strongly about another thing. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. What does that say? It says, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So everybody look up. Don't go in the parking lot and tell your friends, Pastor Gary said we shouldn't pray to heal people anymore. We shouldn't pray for sickness. No, 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 no. We should pray that way, but we should also pray that God would give us wisdom and discernment about these situations. And we should pray that for each other. You know, I'll throw this out. A whole bunch of us in church, and I appreciate Gloria Meekins to use this word, and I was like, man, you're so right. She said, you know what? A lot of people in our church are going through transition. Is that true? Some people are saying, hey, you know what? I'm gonna move away. Some people are getting a new job. Some people have lost a loved one. Some people are trying to restart life. Some people are dealing with, you know, different problems. Some people are dealing with a new health issue and trying to figure out how to make that work. We're dealing with transitions, and that's real. So we need to have wisdom because we haven't walked this way before. So now we need to have some wisdom so we can walk this way now. And that's why God says, don't just pray for those things that you want or things that are obvious. Let's pray that God will give us wisdom as we move forward. And that's really what he's trying to say in this context. So here's a new direction. And I want to click it, but that's not going to do us much good. So let's dig in for a minute. Look what he says. So in verse 16, Paul says, and you kind of put it in parentheses, I. He says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. And I want to say one more thing. Notice, by the way, when we pray, did you hear what Paul does when he thinks about the other Christians? What's he do? What's he do? What's he say? I do not cease to do what? Give thanks for you. Now, I don't know about you. I'm probably more thankful for some of you than others. You can laugh. And you are too. And you know what I'm talking about, right? What am I talking about? Some people really lift me up and encourage me, and some people don't do the same thing. You know, isn't that true? Has that been your experience? Church ain't perfect. We're all just forgiven. But God says, you know what? I give thanks, or Paul says, I give thanks for everybody who's there. And I want to throw this out. You know, God put us all in this place. And I like to think about church this way. Church is like a greenhouse. Marion Fair just built one over there. Him and Terry. And we're not online, but I wish we were. I could say, Lou Schofield says it's going to fall down. It has not fallen down. So we have a greenhouse. But what the purpose of a greenhouse is growth and accelerated growth. So Paul can give thanks for everybody in the body of Christ. You know why? Because we're all there with God's purpose in mind. Some of us are going to be great big backslappers and encouragers. And some of us are going to be tough and they're going to stretch our faith. Some of us in the body of Christ are even going to sin against us, which is never God's will. But God's will is that we learn how to forgive. So he gives thanks for everybody. So there's Christians that are really easy to hug. And there's Christians that are, you know, porcupines. And they're a little harder to hug. But they're all in the body. And Paul says, I'm thankful for those people because you know what? They are stretching me. They are causing me to grow. And God's purpose isn't just that we're happy and having fun at church all the time. God's looking for us to grow. And that's his main goal. So Paul says, you know what? I give thanks to all those people. And he makes mention of them in his prayers. And he prays for them that God would give them this enlightened heart and this spiritual wisdom that comes from the Word and the Holy Spirit. And then he breaks it down. And notice what he says. Here's what Paul wants us to know. And here's what we want to pray for each other that we would know. And remember, no is a perfected no. I get it. And now the results of me getting it are going to keep me going forward. I'm going to keep coming back to my mind. So the first thing Paul prayed for was this. He said he prayed for a perfected knowledge. And he says, I want you to know what is the three things. What is the hope of his calling? Let's get it down. What is the hope of his calling? The second thing he says is, I want you to know what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And then the third thing, which by the way is the thing that I'm really excited about, he says, I want you to know what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believes. So three things. I want you to know what? What is the hope of his calling? Wow, it's up there on the screen. Second thing is, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And the third thing is, I want you to know what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. And I'm going to just put it up this way so you guys can get it. And thank you, tech team. By the way, these people, praise God for Cindy and her team. Amen. And pray for Comcast and their team. But amazing what God is doing, right, in a serious way. So I just want to say this at the bottom. Aren't these prayers different than our garden variety prayers? Remember what they are? Heal, fix, make me comfortable, and give me what I want. Quite different. quite different here. That's what we want to get a hold of. So those are the three things. Now we're going to dive in real fast. And Dial, if you could advance me, if that's possible. My click is not advancing. Maybe I'm stuck there. It's okay. We want to go to the next one. And I want to just underscore. You guys got it? Oh, there you go. When it comes back, tell me, because you know me, I'm going all over the place, right? Tell me. So here's what I want you guys to get a hold of. These prayers are different, and they should be part of our prayer life. So when you pray, don't just pray, heal, fix, make me comfortable, and give me what I want. God, pray, God, I pray that my dear friend, my wife, my sons, my daughter would have God's wisdom and understanding, that you would just really open up their minds and their hearts for that. And then I want to go to the next thing. I want to say this, and I put it at the top of the slide that you can't now see, but it says, this is a new direction. And here's the direction. It's thinking more with eternity in our minds, and our eye is towards spiritual growth. So we're not just thinking about now. And when I think about now, I'm going, ah, God, help me. When I'm thinking about eternity, I'm going, I can endure the pain because God's changing me. See the difference? So this direction is thinking more with eternity in mind and with an eye toward our spiritual growth. So the first thing Paul prayed for was this perfected knowledge. And he says, I want you to know what is the hope of his calling. And I want you to write this down. When we see the word hope in the scripture, what does it mean? Faith? Kinda. Here's the idea of this. I am confidently expecting God to do this. You know, like we were out in the parson's backyard working yesterday in the garden and harvesting stuff, and it was cool. And the family next door was hosting a engagement party celebration. And they were saying, we all were saying the same thing. Boy, I hope it doesn't rain. We're looking at the sky going, ooh, you know, it looks bad. And what I'm trying to say about when I see hope in the scripture, it's not wishful thought. It's confident expectation. I'm not going, God, I really hope this works out. It's saying, I know, God, you're going to work this out. That's quite different. And that's what he wants us to understand. Notice the calling. I want you guys to turn to Romans real quick. The calling that he talks about here is, he says, what is the calling that we have as believers? Turn to Romans chapter 8. What's our calling? You know, we think of our calling as our occupation. And in some sense, this is sort of our greater occupation as sons and daughters of God. And I just want to take you real quick. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 1. He says, this is our calling. He says, there is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That's your calling. You will not be condemned. Skip over real fast. This is our calling, 18 to 25. Look what he says. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. That's your calling. You know what? You're suffering now. You're going through it now. It's difficult now. Better days are coming, and it's a guarantee. And I won't go through that whole passage. He talks about how all of creation is just waiting to be delivered from this mess that we live in called life on earth in a broken world. And what an awesome thing that is. So we have this hope. And as I continue, that's the idea of the calling. You can look at Colossians as another reference. This kind of calling that I know what God has for me is this dynamic force that wants me then to live in thanksgiving to God and to want to live with purity, obedience, faithfulness, and joy. Like when I think about what God really has for me, when I have that perspective of the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared with what's going to happen later, all of a sudden my outlook on life changes. And I want to throw this out to you. Does anybody here today need an outlook adjustment? I mean, I think we all could, right? We went through the pandemic. I mean, to be frank, it kind of stunk. I mean, how many of us love to be cooped up into our house? How many people are lonely enough already, and then we can't get together with anybody, family, we can't celebrate milestones, we can't even bury the dead? It was a hard year, wasn't it? But God says, you know what? I want to give you an outlook adjustment about all the things that you're going through. And by the way, all the things that we normally go through while we were going through the pandemic, we still dealt with those too. It wasn't like we got delivered from those. So people still got cancer. People still went to hospital. You know, things still happened that we didn't plan for or want. But God gives us this kind of calling, knowing this hope of his calling. It's this dynamic force that says, you know what, God, I'm going to live for you. I'm going to obey you. I'm going to be faithful to you. And I'm going to have a new joy in my life because the end is really going to be better, even if it's rough now. And that's huge. So I want to go to the next piece. And again, new direction, new thinking with an eye on eternity and spiritual growth. Look at Paul praying for next. It says, Paul wants us to know what are the riches of his glory of the inheritance in the saints. So he wants us to know that. And I want us, again, that's one of the verses we memorized or should have memorized or are working on memorizing. But it's important to think about what you have in Christ. Because, again, your perspective needs to be changed. My perspective needs to be changed. Everybody look up. Really important. What is the battleground in your life? What's the battleground? Let me ask it a different way. Where is the battleground? The mind, right? The mind. So if you're anxious, before your heart starts fluttering, where does it start? In your mind. If you're upset, you know, and you get ready to have tears stream down your face, where does it start? Your mind. This is the issue, and what Paul wants us to pray for each other, is that we would get our mind straight. We would have the wisdom and discernment from God that we need so that we look at stuff from the right perspective before our emotions get unchecked or unhinged. We have God's direction. Where are we trying to go? And that's what he wants us to know. He says, I want you to know what are the riches of your inheritance. And you know, I'm just going to throw up there real fast. There they are. I'm chosen, I'm adopted, I'm redeemed, I'm forgiven, I'm an heir, and I'm sealed. So let's get this straight. You know what? If you're a Christian, everybody look up and say this with me. Everything is going to be okay. Say that with me. Is that true? If you're a Christian, everything is going to be okay. That means if you got whatever you got today, whatever's happened in your life, everything is going to be okay. Because God took care of everything for you. Amen. That's an important perspective. Now I'm going to throw this out. That should change our demeanor. Our facial demeanor should change. Maybe have a little bit more of a smile. But our demeanor shouldn't be like, you know, I got to get up and I got to do it all over again. But it should change who we are. What's going on? That's what God's trying to say. You know, we got these riches, and then I'm going to skip right on down. You know, this new direction, it's just going to change us to be who God wants us to be on earth. And you know, we think about this, and I want you to get this phrase, because he says, I want you to know what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Not only do you inherit all those things, Jesus inherits us. And picture this. Like, you are the apple of God's eye. God wants you. Like, you are what Jesus prayed for in John chapter 17, verse 24. You know, he said, you know what? You've given them to me, and none of them is lost. You're the inheritance. That's going to come to be. And he wants us to have that knowledge of what we have in Christ and who we are in Christ. We really are sons. And our dad's big, and he can beat up anybody. And he can overcome any problem. You know, I say that as a funny thing. You guys remember that as kids? You know, when somebody's giving you a hard way to go, and you say, well, I'm going to get my dad, and he's going to come over to your house. You know, and he's going to straighten out your dad. You know, like, you ever did that before? You heard that? Or maybe it was your big brother. You know what? I'm going to get my big brother, and he's big, and he's Gary, and he's going to come, and he's going to take care of things. What God's trying to say here is, your dad's big, and he's got it worked out, and he's going to take care of stuff. And he wants to, again, have that thought. And again, we don't have that thought because we get so mired in and sucked into our problems that we can't see anything else or think about anything else. And by the way, understand this. Everybody look up. This is not me preaching at you because I figured this all out. This is me just preaching to you the word of God, and it's helping me figure it out too. Right? We're sharing this together. So you better pray this for me too, you know, and my family as well. And then I want you to notice the last part. We're going to quit. Power. Anybody had a power failure? Today we had an internet failure, server failure. The lights are still on, and the power all came back. But power, strength, ability to go through and do stuff. And what he says, check this out, by the way. He says, and I want you to know what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward those who believe. And you know what he's trying to say? Think about this. God's power is not just this, like, little bit of power. And in fact, in this context, and I want to skip right to the verse. We'll skip down. You can look at your scripture while I do this. But in this context, the Lord uses four different words to describe his power. He used the word dunamis, which is the word that we would transliterate into dynamite. So like God's power is, and you can think about this, explosive. And think about dynamite. What does dynamite do that you can't do? It can move rock. Anybody ever try to put like a fence in? Wouldn't it be kind of cool to have some dynamite? You know, or you got some obstacle in your way? We can take care of that. God's power is that kind of thing. It's dynamite. And then he says, you know, he's the next word. So the word is energeia. What's that sound like? Sounds like energy. And the text, he says, we want to get a hold of this power. Let me go back to Ephesians. He says, the power that's working in us. So anybody, you could use that kind of power of dynamite, but some of us could use a little bit of energy because we feel so beat down, you know, heavy weighted, burdened down. We use those words. That God's word, you know, God's power is energizing to us. It'll get you up when you don't want to get up. Or you think you can't get up, which is also so true. And then there's two other words there, the word kratos and the word iskos. He says, according to the power, his mighty power. You know, in the Old Testament, there's a name for God. A lot of you ladies Bible study the names of God. It's called El Gabor, mighty God. Like he's awesome. He can do anything, and he is doing these things that justify the laws of the universe. Because he's God, and they're his laws, and it's his universe. Like, unbelievable what God can do. And he said, I want you to get a hold of this. He says, I want you to understand the greatness of God's power toward us who believe. And just kind of get a sense of this. And I want to throw this out. Why is that so important? Matthew chapter 26, verse 41. You know what that says? Jesus said this about the disciples. Remember the disciples went into the garden with Jesus, and Jesus said, hey, you guys, this is going to be an awful experience. I want you to come pray with me for an hour. What happened to the disciples? They're sawing some heavy wood. They were knocked out, right? And Jesus came back again. He's like, can't you guys just pray for an hour? And the answer is what? No. And Jesus said this. He said, the spirit is willing, but you know what? The flesh is weak. And that's why we need God's power, because my flesh is weak. It doesn't matter how big your biceps are or how much weight you can lift. Your flesh is weak when it comes to spiritual battle and burdens. And he says, I want you to get a sense. I want you to have that kind of power. And he gives us that power. And I put it at the bottom. Here's the work. And we're going to read about this in Ephesians chapter 6. He says it right here in this context. Part of the work is spiritual warfare. Everybody look up. A lot of what you and I are going through, it's not hand-to-hand combat. Although I think this, by the way, don't we like to try to make it that? Because we're like, you don't know this person I work with. You don't know this. You don't know this person I live with. You don't know what they do. Like we try to make it hand-to-hand combat, and if God would just take that person out of the way, life would be a dream. But it's really more than that. You know, and Satan uses other people just to bring us down, to wreck our day, to wreck our faith, to wreck our witness, wreck our testimony. And God says, you know what? There's a power here that you need. And it's not about hand-to-hand combat. And I want you to notice, by the way, look down at verse 21. Look what it says about him. It says, this power who he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and we'll come back to that real quick, and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. Did you get that for a second? He says, this power is above all of those spiritual forces that you fight against. So when you have a problem, you know, don't just think it's your husband, your wife, your neighbor, your coworker, your kid. There's something else going on there. But God has the power to deal with all that stuff. And that's what he wants us to get a grip on. How about this? He has the power to stop our worrying. First, we got to admit we worry. Then we got to stop it, right? And God can help us with that. Or our discouragement. That power is there to break that discouragement from us. But the discouragement isn't the problem is going to go away. The encouragement to fix the discouragement is God's going to be with you in the problem. It may go away. It may not go away. But God will get you through. And that's the big difference. Again, perspectives. And I want to say, everybody look up. When I pray, right, what do I pray? God, fix it. What fix it looks like the problem goes away. God doesn't always fix it that the problem goes away. God just gives you the power to live with it until Jesus comes, maybe, or until it does go away. That's kind of a bit different way to think. And again, we have to think that way, and it's hard. But that's what the work of the Spirit and the Word is doing in us. So I want to slide down. Reaping the fruit. Reaping the harvest of spiritual prayer. What's that going to look like then if we actually begin to do this stuff? And here's a couple of thoughts or takeaways I thought would be good. Number one is this. We would have better growth and understanding. Everybody look up. So here's the thought. When we're faced with a problem, our prayer is not just heal, fix, comfort, give me what I want. It's, God, help me to see what is going on the greater scheme of things here. Got better understanding. By the way, as I do that, as I flex that spiritual muscle, I'll grow. And the next experience may be harder, but I'll be able to bear up under that a little bit better. That's what God's trying to get us to do. And how about this? A better perspective on life and prayer. Don't I need that? Like, let's just not say, man, life stinks. Life is hard. You know, people say, you know, life's hard, and then you die. That should never be our perspective as a believer. In some sense, it's true. Life's hard, and you die. But when I die, look out. Heaven is going to be grand, right? A better perspective on life and prayer. I want to throw this out. Let's pray this prayer for each other that we would really change in these ways. How about this one? Joyful acceptance of God's will. You've been there. You prayed for something for eons, and it's still the same. Do you think it's God's will that maybe it's going to stay that way for? And I'm going to have that understanding that passes all, or that peace that passes all understanding. Okay, God, you got it. Just help me get through. I need that joyful acceptance. How about this? Power to live as God's child in the face of adversity. I need that because life's so adverse. And lastly, hope, confidence, and thanksgiving. Henry said, faith. Hope's a lot like faith. I'm confident God's going to bring it to pass. And I can be thankful. I can be thankful even in the midst of the mess. And I wish I could tell you this differently, but life's probably going to be a mess until we get promoted. It might not be a big mess all the time, but it'll be a mess of some sort till Jesus takes me out. So we're going to pray. I want to throw this out before you pray. Unless you're God's child, all that stuff isn't part of your portfolio. So if you're not God's child, man, you need to become one. See me. We'll talk about a communion in a second. If you are, praise God. We have greater hope.